Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 16, The Lord's Opulence, Text Number 41. Etas te kirtita sarva, sankshepena vibhutaya, manovikara evaite, yatavacha vitiyate. Etaste kirtita sarva sankshepena vibhutaya manovikara evaite yatavacha vividyate. Eta, these. Te, unto you, kirtita, described, sarva, all, sankshepena, briefly, vibhutaya, spiritual opulences, mana, of the mind, vikara, transformations, Eva, indeed, ete, these, yata, accordingly, vacha, by words, abhidiyate, each is described. Translation. I have briefly described to you all my spiritual opulences and also the extraordinary material features of my creation, which are perceived by the mind and defined in different ways according to circumstances. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead speaking to Uddhava. Can repeat. I have briefly described to you all my spiritual opulences and also the extraordinary material features of my creation, which are perceived by the mind and defined in different ways according to circumstances. Purport, according to Sanskrit grammar, and as confirmed by Srila Sridhar Swami, the words eta and ete describe two distinct sets of the Lord's opulences. The Lord has described His opulent plenary expansion, such as Vasudeva, Narayana, the Supersoul, etc. And further, the Lord has described the outstanding features of the material creation, which are also included among the glories of the Personality of Godhead. The plenary manifestations of the Lord, such as Vasudeva, Narayana, etc., are all eternal, unchanging, transcendental features of the Lord, and are indicated by the word eta. The extraordinary aspects of material creation, however, are circumstantial and dependent on individual perception. And they are therefore described here by the words mano vikara evaite yata vacha vitiyate. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that by consistent logical application of synonyms, eta refers to the Lord's eternal spiritual manifestations. beyond the perception of the material senses. Whereas ete refers to those opulences that can be perceived by conditioned souls. He gives the example that the paraphernalia and intimate associates of a king are all considered to be part and parcel of the king and are therefore granted royal status. Similarly, the opulent features of material creation are reflected expansions of the Lord's personal opulences and thus may be considered non-different from him. One should not, however, wrongly assume that such insignificant material opulences occupy the same status as the Lord's plenary features as the personality of Godhead, which are qualitatively and quantitatively equal to the Lord. Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur comments as follows on this verse. The Lord's external opulences are called mano-vikara, or related to mental transformation, because ordinary people perceive extraordinary features of the material world according to their personal state of mind. Thus, the word vacha vidhiyate indicates that conditioned souls describe the Lord's material creation according to specific material circumstances. Because of the circumstantial relative definitions of material opulence, such opulence is never to be considered a direct plenary manifestation of the Lord's personal form. When one's state of mind is transformed into a favorable or affectionate state, one defines a manifestation of the Lord's energy as my son, my father, my husband, my uncle, the son of my brother, my friend, and so on. One forgets that every living entity is actually part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and whatever opulences, talents, or outstanding features one may exhibit are actually the potencies of the Lord. Similarly, when the mind is transformed into a negative or inimical state, one thinks, this person will be the ruin of me. This person must be finished by me. He is my enemy, or I am his enemy. He is a killer, or he should be killed. The negative state of mind is also expressed when one is attracted to the extraordinary material aspects of particular persons or objects, but forgets that they are manifestations of the potency of the personality of Godhead. Even the demigod Indra, who is quite obviously a manifestation of the Lord's material opulences, is misunderstood by others. For example, Indra's wife Sachi thinks that Indra is my husband, whereas Aditi thinks that he is my son. Jayanta thinks that he is my father. Brihaspati thinks he is my disciple, whereas the demons feel that Indra is their personal enemy. Thus, different personalities define him according to their mental state. The Lord's material opulences, being relatively perceived, are therefore called mano-vikara, which means they are dependent on mental states. This relative perception is material because it does not recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the actual source of the particular opulence. If one sees Lord Krishna as the source of all opulences and gives up all desires to enjoy or possess the Lord's opulences, then one can see the spiritual nature of these opulences. At that time, even though one may continue to perceive the variety and distinctions of the material world, one will become perfect in Krishna consciousness. One should not conclude, as do the Voidist philosophers, that the Lord's spiritual manifestations in the Vishnu Tattva and liberated jiva categories are also products of relative perception and mental states. This useless idea is contrary to the entire body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's teachings to Sri Uddhava. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the word vacha also indicates the various Vedic literatures that describe the particular opulences by which the Lord manifests his spiritual and material opulences. The particular processes by which the Lord manifests his spiritual and material opulences. And in this context, yata indicates the specific procedures of manifestation and creation. Etaste kirtita sarva samkshepena vibhutaya mano vikara evaite yata vacha vidhiyate. Translation: I have briefly described to you all my spiritual opulences and also the extraordinary material features of my creation, which are perceived by the mind and defined in different ways according to circumstances. Eta, these, and the other word was ete, which you find in evaite, eva ete. This is Sandhi, Sanskrit becomes evaite. Therefore, in translation, translation is given as my spiritual opulences and also the extraordinary material features of my creation. The translators have written like that in accordance with the commentaries of the previous acharyas. They have cited here Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Sridhar Swami, and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is the process of commenting on verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One should refer to the commentaries of the previous acharyas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very strict in this regard and rejected the commentary of Balabhavata, who claimed to have defeated the commentary of Sridhar Swami. This is not the system that when commenting one tries to annul or defeat what was said by the previous acharyas. One has to accept and take seriously their comments. This is the parampara system. Transcendental knowledge is a descending process of acquiring knowledge. Knowledge is passed down from the Lord, coming down through the parampara to us. If we think that we can interpret the Lord's instructions according to our own whim, then we will misunderstand. It's demonstrated here in the purport how, you know, we may get different kinds of, we may have different kinds of perceptions according to our own individual position. The same thing we perceive, or the same person may be perceived differently by different personalities. But here we are learning about the absolute truth, and the absolute truth is unchanging. Of course, there's also example how different personalities related to Krishna in different ways, as when Krishna went to Mathura to the wrestling arena, wasn't it? The different personalities were perceiving in different ways. And Krishna is playing as an ordinary human being, as it were. Lord Shri Krishna and Balaram appeared just like human beings, and so masked, they performed many transcendental acts, he said in the first chapter of the Bhagavatam. So, therefore, you know, and even the spiritual world also, they do, they have their different rasas with the different devotees. There's parental ras and madhurya ras and the sakya ras. So what we see here in the material world is a reflection of that. But the tendency here is to become illusioned due to these different kinds of perceptions. And the tendency here also to create friends and enemies in this material world. Someone is very dear to me, someone is my, you know, opponent. Because in the material world there is the competition for the resources of material energy. So depending on, you know, we may be, and there's a material attraction to possess those resources. So someone is helping me to acquire resources. It's my friend, someone who's a competitor, maybe my enemy. So in this way we become affected by the influence of the material energy. It creates a kind of illusory rasa, varieties of illusory rasas. And people in the material world, they're just swimming in that ocean of illusory rasas. As it were, Rasamrita Sindhu of the material world. Maya Rasamrita Sindhu. Whereas Rupa Goswami has written Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to teach us about the transcendental rasas of bhakti and the spiritual world. So this is nectar. Actually, we shouldn't say Rasamrita Sindhu, Maya Rasamrita Sindhu, but it's Maya Rasa Visha Sindhu, isn't it? The poisonous rasas of the ocean of poisonous rasas of the material world. Which is, of course, an unfortunate condition to be absorbed in, but that is the reality of material existence. It's a very precarious state of existence. At any step, every step, there's danger. Any moment, one may be bewildered by the material energy and fallen into ocean of suffering, lamentation. Well, one is already in it, but still, it's can show its most unpleasant features to us at any time. But it's mainly depending on our state of consciousness, how we are relating to that energy, because that material energy also Krishna's energy. Srila Prabhupada said that spiritual means remembrance of Krishna and material means forgetfulness of Krishna. So If you see the energy, material energy, as Krishna's energy, and you use it in Krishna's service, and you focus your consciousness on Krishna, and serving Krishna and his devotees, and using everything in the service, then everything is spiritual, or at least spiritualized. Whereas if you forget Krishna and you're just interested in enjoying his energies, exploiting his energies, then everything become material or materialized, material consciousness. Even, you know, relationships with others who are spirit souls, it become material because of forgetfulness of Krishna, and the tendency therefore is to see everything on the external platform and not even understand at all how the spiritual energy is working, how, you know, people are other living entities or spirit souls. No perception, you see. Of course there may be some affection and sympathy for one's near and dear ones. We do see, obviously, the show of affection for the parents, for their children, or, you know, husband and wife, and so forth. And it may sometimes even extend a dog and your cat. Now there's a big hullabaloo about, you know, protecting the whales, isn't it, in the Antarctic? It's a recent controversy. It's very, you know, it's nice in a way, but they're making such a drama about this. They have so many slaughterhouses, and I mean, if one sees some video footage of what goes on in the slaughterhouses, it's just unbelievable. The cruelty with which these creatures are being treated. Chickens and pigs and cows, and it's just turkeys, and it's just unbelievable, you know. We don't wish to get into detail, but it's the height of, you know, cruelty and insensitivity towards other living entities, and completely not understanding that they're person, they have their relatives also, all these different creatures, and their sons and daughters and, you know, associates, and they have their affection, you know, for them, and so they have their feelings, and they're also living entities, but in a human society, ruthlessly slaughtering, just you know, breeding them to slaughter them. So this shows, you know, an imbalanced perception. Over affection on the one hand for one's so-called near and dear persons, and, you know, utter callousness and cruelty towards others. As said, Tatikshava Kurunika Suridam Sarvadehinam Ajata Satravasantam Sadhavasadabhushana. The qualities of a sadhu or a Vaishnava are that he is tolerant and merciful, and he's a friend to all living entities, he has no enemies, he's peaceful, he always abides by the Shastra. These are the good qualities of the Vaishnava, as Kapila Dev says. So Prabhupada, he commented that Suridam Sarva Dehinam, he said Dehina means embodied, living entity who is embodied. Therefore, you know, he's the devotee is a Surida, he's a friend of all embodied living beings, not only human beings, and his dog and his cat, and his whales or whatever. But all embodied beings, he is the well-wisher and friend. Just as Krishna also, Surida, Sarvabhutanam, he's all the friend of all living beings. So by dint of Krishna consciousness, a person gradually develops this same kind of qualities as Krishna. Krishna is a reservoir of all good qualities. The process of bhakti yoga is a process for associating with Krishna through the via media of Krishna's devotees and Krishna's holy name, Krishna's instructions, etc. So thus, step by step, the devotee develops good qualities. He can never develop to the same extent, but what is it, up to 50 out of 64, or 78% of good of Krishna's qualities can be partially developed by living entity. Lord Brahma, he said, has 50 of those qualities fully, and 5 partially, and Lord Shiva has 55 fully, and Lord Vishnu has 60 fully, and only Krishna and Balaram have, you know, fully 64 transcendental qualities. Anyhow, so one can develop these good qualities, and that the good quality, one of these good qualities like tolerance and mercifulness to others, tolerating difficulties, not always blaming Krishna or blaming others, but the devotee he'll tend to blame himself for, you know, difficulties, something due to his bad karma. Of course, one shouldn't also get into the over blaming himself, over lamentation. There's also imbalance. But at least one, you know, one should recognize that, you know, one has some faults, and that also, you know, previously one may have committed sinful activities. Therefore, there may be some residual effect, even though in the case of devotees that is greatly reduced due to practice of Krishna consciousness. But what is that verse? Tatenu kampam susamiksamanam bunjana evatna kritam vipakam vidvagva purvir vidadam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bak. Lord Brahma speaks that verse in the 10th canto. The devotee goes on, you know, practicing Krishna consciousness, glorifying the Lord, and tolerating the reactions of his previous activities. And thus he becomes eligible for liberation, for going back to Godhead, because it has become his rightful claim. Because of his steady practice of Krishna consciousness, he develops that the mood of a liberated soul in the spiritual world. It can be gradually, you know, cultivated and developed through the following the process of devotional service. So therefore it becomes automatic almost that he can go to the spiritual world. He's prepared his consciousness for the spiritual world, but one has to tolerate that the difficulties of material existence, because material existence means there is some inconvenience, it is not the natural home of the eternal living entity. It is an uncomfortable position for a living entity to be in a material world. There's some buffeting, or he's being, you know, pushed through different bodies, one after the other. Has to endure different kinds of circumstances, birth, death, old age, and disease, and the different circumstances associated with the different bodies. This uncomfort, discomfort. But how to overcome is to steadily go on, you know, glorifying the Lord, engaging in devotional service, so that one's spiritual perception becomes developed, one's bond with Krishna and Krishna's devotees becomes strengthened, and so consequently the good qualities of Krishna, they gradually, you know, become manifested in a person, in a devotee. And therefore, just as Krishna is the well-wisher of all living entities, the devotee also becomes a well-wisher of all living entities. That's why devotees preach Krishna consciousness. Well, it's the order of the Lord, but also they develop mercifulness or compassion to others, because they understand the suffering condition of living entities in a material world, and they understand that by practice of Krishna consciousness you can be relieved of those miseries. Therefore they want to share that opportunity with others, giving them Krishna in different ways, the holy name, prasadam, books, association. So therefore devotees don't mercilessly slaughter all kinds of animals for gratification of the tongue, but rather to eat in the way that Krishna tells them to eat, offering vegetarian items to Krishna with devotion. As Krishna says, Yagya sishtasina santo muchante sarva kildushai bunjate te kilkampa pamya pachantiyat makarana. The devotees of the Lord are released from sins, from karma, because they eat food which has been offered to the Lord in sacrifice. For us persons who prepare food for their own enjoyment, they verily eat only sin, they get karma. Even the vegetarians, it's also killing of plants, are also living entities. But Krishna has authorized it. Because jivo jivasya jivan, one living entity is food for another. So, in the jungle, a tiger and lions, they're eating other living entities. But human being, that is not, he's not supposed to live like a tiger or a lion. He's supposed to live according to the directions of the Lord, then he can progress in spiritual life. Tiger, lion, how they can understand the transcendental subject matter. So we have to study what Krishna's instructions are, and we learn those instructions through the via media of the acharyas, not by our own speculation. When Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy were discussing, Lord Chaitanya was asking him how to attain perfection, and he quoted several verses from the Gita. Lord Chaitanya, he said people might misunderstand. When he quoted Yat Karosi Yadasana, all you do, all you offer, all you eat, all you offer, give, do as an offering to me. Lord Chaitanya said, well, people may have just fruit of mentality and offering something to Krishna. This is, the fruit of mentality may be too predominant. Explained for the Sarvadharman Pratyajamani comes from. Give up everything and surrender to me. Lord Chaitanya said, people may go to the other extreme, just give up all their responsibilities and duties. Brahma Bhutta Prasanna Mana Sochitinikana. When one engages in devotional service, then he becomes equally disposed to all living entities. That's of course proper state of consciousness. Equally, and he neither hankers or laments, he's not overly attracted by the material energy, and thus he comes to the spiritual platform, which of course all these verses are, completely correct. But Lord Chaitanya said, Brahma Buddha, they may think that merging in Brahman is the... So then he proposed one should find a pure devotee of the Lord under his guidance, engage in devotional service. Lord Chaitanya said, that is the way forward, that is the way to progress to higher levels. And then he went on describing, different higher levels of Krishna consciousness, the different rasas, and the relationship of the gopis with Krishna, Radharani and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased, eventually revealed his form as Radha Krishna. But we can see that, even though he had quoted verses from the Gita, Lord Chaitanya was pointing out that they can be misinterpreted if you're just trying to interpret them yourself. You have to hear from a bona fide source or bona fide spiritual master. According, bona fide spiritual master means devotees who is teaching in accordance with the teaching of the previous acharyas. Then we can understand how to apply the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, message of Bhagavad Gita properly. You can understand the verses in a proper context and apply them practically. As Prabhupada said, prior to my translating Bhagavad Gita, there were so many editions, but none of them produced any devotee of Krishna. But after I translated Bhagavad Gita as it is, so many persons have become devotees because we got the proper understanding according to the bona fide acharyas, and the Prabhupada showed the proper way to apply it, the knowledge practically in one's day-to-day life. So there's actually effect, some transformation of the consciousness. The person actually becoming Krishna conscious. Krishna says, Machyata sarvadurgani mat prasada tarishas. If you become conscious of me, you can cross over all the obstacles of material life by my grace. But if you act out of false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. So people who don't even pay any attention to Bhagavad Gita or Krishna's instruction, definitely they're going to be lost in the whirlpool of material existence. But also those who interpret according to their own whims, they also be bewildered by the material energy. So we need that guidance of the bona fide acharyas in order to apply, understand and apply this transcendental knowledge properly. So very nice the quoting here, Vidyananda Maharaj, I guess Gopi Parandana assisting him. They've quoted so many nice statements of the acharyas. And Prabhupada himself always used the books of the acharyas in his commentaries. When I was in Vrindavan, he sent me to get some Bhagavatams which one professor wanted to donate. Professor in Aligarh University. It's about 2-3 hours drive from Vrindavan. So I was sent there in Prabhupada's car, as far as I remember. Ambassador, he had his maroon ambassador car. And went to that professor's house, and there was two piles of Bhagavatams on the floor. One pile was just the 10th canto, and the other pile was all the other cantos. There's 8 commentaries on all the other cantos, and there were 11 commentaries on the 10th canto. Additional commentaries of Sanatana Goswami. Had a Vachari comment on the whole Bhagavatam or just 10th canto? Anyone? Maybe just the 10th, but I'm not sure. Sanatana Goswami only commented on the 10th, whereas others, like you see here, they're citing Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath, Sridhar. They commented on all the cantos, but there are extra ones, quite extensive ones, on the 10th canto. And the 10th canto itself is longer than the other cantos. That's why that pile was just as high as all the other cantos. And that professor, you know, he had supposedly was going to donate the books, but when I came there, he said, I'd like to become a life member in exchange. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm not sure if I can guarantee, but I think the chances are good. I didn't want to go back without the books. So then, he gave the books. I went back to Vrindavan, brought him to Srila Prabhupada. I told him this man wants to become a member in exchange. He said, these books are worth 1,000 rupees. Life membership is 2,222 rupees. Let him pay the balance, he said, then he can be a life member. Anyway, I wasn't actually, you know, permanently stationed in Vrindavan. I was on the library party, so just moving through. I left it in the hands of the local temple president. Apparently, it wasn't even resolved during Prabhupada's lifetime, even many, many years later. But finally, I think they settled up somehow. But Prabhupada anyway kept the books, and he used them. He would be referring to them. He had a set in Mayapur as well, I think. And I guess when he traveled, he would take the relevant volume with him. But he always referred like that to the previous acharyas. This is the proper way to comment, and it's the proper way to give classes also. When devotees are giving classes, they should refer to the to Prabhupada's books and what Prabhupada cites to the verses. Prabhupada said that devotees should know the books like lawyers know the law books. They can refer to so many cases in the law books. So, same way, devotees should read the books and learn from the books and use the books as a basis for their preaching. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any comment here? Question?
Just something I was reading last night. Prabhupada would read the commentaries and he would meditate on the meanings. And he was often complaining to the devotees, "Don't disturb me with all of this management." Because he made the point that I like to meditate on the meaning of the. He said, "It takes me a long time to write the purport. I meditate on the meaning of the presentation given on the previous acharyas. And when there's always these problems coming and I can't meditate, and so that disturbs my writing." So Prabhupada, you know, it was his fully his meditation throughout the day. Right at night.
Yes. What did he say? My purports are my transcendental ecstasies.
He also commented about Radhakrishnan when he didn't write properly. Radhakrishnan, anybody, we have not put it properly.
Yes, well, Prabhupada used Radhakrishnan's Gita in the very early days in New York because Prabhupada's own translation was stolen when he was in India. So when he came to the West, he didn't actually have Gita, although, you know, that was one of the first books that he worked on. It was published early, at least an abridged edition by the Macmillan Press, but he used Radha, in the very early days in the storefront, he used to use the translation of Radhakrishna, but not the purports, you know. And he criticized them, especially in that verse, Sarvanarman Pratyaja, Mame Kam Sharanam, where he says surrender to me, and Radhakrishna says it's not unto the person Krishna that we have to surrender, but unto the unborn within Krishna. Now Prabhupada said, where does Krishna say that? Mame Kam Sharanam, surrender to me, Krishna says, me, the person Krishna.
If there's without a purport, should we comment on it?
Well, generally we don't, but sometimes we may. If there's something relevant, you know, that it's not forbidden. Is there any statement in the Prabhupada said that if there's no purport, you can't comment? He himself comments sometimes. Generally, when he's giving class, he would read the different. Have the devotees at least read the translation and the purport, and then he would speak. And sometimes if it was just translation, he would sometimes speak. So, generally out of respect, we don't. But it may be there's some point of relevance. For example, in the word for word, can be something. It's not forbidden. Generally, I tell a devotee, you know, sometimes you see there's a whole lot of verses with no purport, and then there's a verse with a purport, and the devotees write the verse with the purport on the board, and then you have to read through all the Sanskrit. And I prefer they just put the next verse up, you know. And I also saw in the folio that in at least one lecture I saw in London in the Manor, 73. I remember I was there at those classes. Prabhupada was reading in the morning. He was reading Bhagavad Gita, not Srimad Bhagavatam. Morning and evening he was reading Gita, and start from the first chapter. He was reading the first chapter. I think that's probably because we just gotten the full Gita. You know, prior to that we always had the abridged Gita without the Sanskrit. So we just got the full, you know, version of the Gita. So Prabhupada was reading from the. So there are many verses without purports, but you know, Prabhupada would have the next verse written up and chanted responsive, whether it had purport or not. And then you go on from there. Because it may be, maybe there's some reason to, you know, comment on a verse that has no purport. Not everyone may agree with that, but anyway. Sorry?
I've been criticized for speaking out of verse that you never heard before.
Well, that's just some kind of, you know.
Not like that.
Yeah, but it's just some kind of, you know, tradition that has grown up in ISKCON, but there's no actual basis for that in Prabhupada's instructions. Okay, Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.